Got some interesting information for you here. Kyle pointed this out to me, so Kyle, I'll let you take over. But it looks like the Stockton Kings have made a deal that could impact the Sacramento Kings roster, potentially.
Yeah, the Stockton Kings are very active out there on the trade market, and they've reportedly acquired Stanley Johnson from the Sioux Falls Skyforce. Stanley Johnson, 27 years old, played with the Spurs last season, knocked down 45% of his threes last season, and our guy Jason Anderson confirming it as well. Johnson, an eight-year NBA vet, played 30 games with the Spurs. He was a lottery pick when he came into the league. And when you look at, you know, him, he's known as a two-way guy, at least a deep defender. The issue with him has been his three-point shooting. We mentioned last season he shot 45%, but he only took 1.3 threes per game.
And that he didn't have any other year where he came close to
No other year. I think prior to that, his best year was 32.8% on 2.2 threes per game. And so I don't know, you know, how much he can help Sacramento, especially with his inability to score, but he is a tough, hard-nosed defender. And, you know, the Kings do have an open roster spot, so it'll be interesting to see if they decide to bring him up and give him a look in Sacramento.
Yeah, and to your point, he was a lottery pick. Yeah, round one, 2015 draft, he was the eighth pick by the Detroit Pistons. So interesting pickup. He's played here with Detroit and Pelicans a little bit, and the Raptors and the Lakers, and as you said, the Spurs. So Stanley Johnson is a member of the organization, and the Kings have an open roster spot. Right?
Yes, they have an open roster spot. So, you know, they could convert that and bring him up, obviously, to take a look. It's a name. It's a guy that's been in the league. You know, basketball fans are familiar with him, but you also are familiar with, you know, his limitations offensively. And so, and if he could ever get that down, that three-point shot down, he could be a key contributor on a team, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about the loss last night, the elimination from the in-season tournament, 127-117, Kings fall to the Pelicans last night. And we've been talking about Harrison
Yes.
Barnes. Kings lose, people want to talk about Harrison Barnes. Why is he still around? What's going on with Harrison Barnes? Do we have some sound here? Mike Brown last night was asked about the fact that Harrison Barnes wasn't very productive when it comes to the box score.
But I can tell you just in general, he's going to have to help us rebound. He's going to take on some tough defensive assignments, right? And then, you know, he's going to shoot the ball when he's open. You know, the one thing that you guys have to understand is I don't call any plays for HB. Everything he does, he kind of gets off of others. And so, you know, that's going to bring amount of inconsistency too, because he doesn't get a single play call for him. And you know, when he's had big games, it's been him feeding off of others and all that type of stuff. And you know, we didn't, I don't know if, you know, I'd have to go back and watch the film, but I don't feel like we touched the paint enough. And you know, they send a lot of guys to the paint, but I don't feel like we touched the paint enough. And then when the ball got sprayed, and then the ball gets sprayed. You know, I felt when we touched that paint, a lot of times it was to try to score. You know, and HB is really good feeding off of us touching the paint. Spray happens. He either shoots it or spray, swing to him, hard close out, and he snap drives and gets by people. He didn't have much opportunity to do that tonight. You know, but again, you know, we didn't shoot the ball well from three, but you know, 117 points is plenty enough to win a ball game of this magnitude.
All right. So, and Jay has put together an exercise for us. We'll get to in just a moment here. But let me play Freddie the Fan with you. Can I do that?
Yeah, please do.
I'm Freddie Fan.
What
Kyle
you got?
Draper. I love watching you on TV. But come on, man. Harrison Barnes had what, 33 in the opening night game against Utah? He was incredible. Last night he takes three shots. Harrison Barnes scores 4 points. I don't even know if he's there. And this is the guy they're paying all this money to. They re-sign. Why'd they re-sign him if they're going to put him out there to score 4 points? Why is he even on the team? They should have someone better. It says Freddie the Fan. Why am I wrong?
And I got to answer that?
Yeah, oh. you said fans are idiots.
Fans, because you can't just look at the points per game. You can't. You got to take into account everything that comes in, not even on the box score. How about this? You got to take into account everything that happens before they even take the court. You need some adults in the room.
I know he's
some
a great veterans guy, yeah.
This is not NBA 2K, Freddie fan. Mm-hmm. You can't have all-stars at all five positions. Harrison Barnes is a team leader, a locker room leader, one of your best defenders. And I know people say, oh, he's not playing defense. He's not playing great defense. Well, nobody's on the team playing great defense right now. And so, you know, you can't have all five guys averaging 20 points per game. Is his numbers down? Yeah, no doubt about it. His numbers are down this season. But we knew coming into this season that he was going to take a reduced role. Harrison Barnes is what he's always been. You know, he's inconsistent in terms of scoring, but the things he does to be a professional, to be out there night in and night out, to play defense night in and night out. He's clutch as well. Come on, man. Come on, Freddie fan. You got to be better than that.
He has to be better than that. Not me, Freddie fan. I mean, he had one more basket than I did last night. He had one more field goal than me, Freddie fan, had. And then he averaged 15 a game last year. Okay, a reduced role. He barely has a role at all.
Okay, so Freddie fan.
Yeah.
When Harrison Barnes went on a streak of 12, 16, 22, 18. Where were you at then?
That's good.
Where were you at then?
Where was that last night?
You didn't call me then. You didn't weigh in on the drive guys then. You can't all of
through.
A sudden, you know, oh, we lost the game. Let me see who didn't perform last night. Oh, yep, it's Harrison Barnes. Where was Harrison Barnes last night? Come on. We're not going to do this exercise for 82 games this season.
Well, there are – I understand why teams are frustrated. I understand why fans are frustrated being Freddie fan, because there are a lot of games where it looks like he disappeared. And it's an easy reaction. Wow, they lost. What happened? Oh, Harrison Barnes. I agree with you. Last night, he wasn't the issue. The big thing for me is, okay, if he's going to score more points, where are the shots going to come from? You know, who do you want him shooting rather than? You'd rather have Barnes shooting Keegan? No. So that's an issue.
Right.
There's not enough shots in this offense for him. But I also understand that he could stand to be more productive. You could stand a little more production from him. What do you got, Jay? Jay did a little exercise. What is the point of this, Jay? What did you do for us here?
First of all, we should bring Freddie the Fan out a little more. I like Freddie the Fan. Give my boy Dre
even
fire.
Though he was wrong. Even though he was wrong. That's
fine.
Yeah,
but it fires you up, though.
It does.
But you guys have been talking about HB pretty much all day, and for good reason, you know, vice versa. As Freddie Fan has definitely shown here. I did something earlier in the season when HB re-signed this year for 3 years, $54 million, which equals $17 million flat, of course, this year, not counting his pockets, by the way. I should put that. But I looked at it, and with that being said, HB is the 98th highest paid player in the NBA, according to numbers and the ESPN. I went back and checked out the salary ratings. And so what I did an exercise is, what I want players around HB's salary over HB, if I was Freddie the Fan, right?
Yeah.
And so what I did is I went down and looked at plus or minus $2 million.
Okay.
So 16 to 18, right? Instead of plus or minus from the 17. So, but I went from 16 million to 18. If you were making the bottom of 16, I counted you. If you were making the top of 18, I counted you, right? Quick note, the first person who's making the lowest part of 19, Buddy Hield. So we'll step away from that because we don't want that.
Exactly. Let me just say it, Jay, as Freddie the Fan here, I love what you're doing. I was going to do something like this, but I don't have the internet. I got to go to my mom's. So you
in your mom's basement, right?
Freddie the Fan.
So, yeah.
With that being said, the 81st player, they make 18.8, and the 101 highest paid player makes 16.8.
Okay.
Now, 102 would be Kevin Porter Jr. We know where his story is. He was making 15.8, and the 80th highest paid player was Buddy Hield. He was making 19. So we have from 81 to 101. 20 players. It worked out perfect.
All right, what you got for me?
I'm going to throw out some of these names. You tell me if you're taking this person over HB or you're taking HB over that. We'll start at 101. P.J. Washington, he makes 16.8. You taking P.J. or you taking HB?
Freddie says P.J.
Okay.
Yeah. PJ doesn't move the needle for me. Not
all right.
At all. And I could argue PJ is underpaid. He went out there on free agency this year and you know, didn't find any suitors, any offers. And so I could argue he's underpaid, good player. But, you know, I'm not even going here or there with him.
I will say this, honestly. If you had PJ on your team and he was getting three shots a game, he would not be happy, and it would be an issue.
It would be an issue, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Hey, go ahead,
so
Jay.
Wait, you're saying he's underpaid, so that kind of contradicts you, mean he should be getting paid higher, which means he's a better ball player?
He's better than his contract,
okay,
yes.
No problem, all right.
But, I don't think he moves the needle for me. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, definitely him over Harrison Burns. Come
no
on,
problem.
Man.
So, P.J. Washington, 100, Yusuf Nurkic, 16.8.
Not on this team, no. Not when you got Sabonis
now,
already.
This is the tough thing I had to figure out right here, Kyle, and I'm glad you said that. I figured it would come up. I'm looking at the player compared to where he fits into this team. I figured most people would look at, well, how does he fit on this team? I'm just looking at the player. Is he, to me, better than HB for what they're getting paid? That's how I looked at it. Now, Nurkic's numbers are way better than HB's across the board.
But Nurkic has never won anything. He's never been on a winner.
Even Freddie Finney, Nurkic has hurt a lot. Harrison Barnes is not.
There you go.
Hurt.
No problem.
There
you go.
Yeah. All right, 99, Markelle Fultz.
No.
Making 17 flat.
No.
All right. HB is 98. 97, Bertans.
Nah.
Okay.
He's a one-trick pony.
All right. I was wishing we'd get some better names.
It's coming. I'm just
I appreciate it. Yeah.
96, Marcus Morris Sr.
No.
All right. 95, Lauri Markkanen.
Woo, yes.
We all know Lauri Markkanen. Probably the most underpaid player in the NBA right now. That's an all-star.
94, okay. D'Angelo Russell, 17.3.
Yeah, again, if you go fit, but you said not by fit.
No, I'm just talking about player. Straight player.
Yeah.
And remember, these guys are assets, too.
No, Jay, this is where I'm going to say no on this.
Okay.
Now, if we're talking pickup ball at the playground at 9th and Q or wherever it is.
I got you.
Yes, but we're talking about winning a title, building a championship contender.
But we're also talking about someone who plays with the ball in their hand, just like a Malik Monk, someone that you've talked about should be on the floor a little more. Some people have argued that he should start a opposite of De'Aaron Fox. D'Angelo's that guy. I just
turned it out there. Defensively.
Okay. I mean, what are we calling Kevin Herter?
I would never D'Angelo Russell
look,
guy.
You going there. I see how you
I'm
are
stop
right
that.
Now.
I'm not a D'Angelo Russell guy, but you're right about defensively he's a turnstile. But he's actually having a really good year this year. He's kind of outperforming his projections. So I would say yes, I'm in on D'Angelo Russell.
Colin Sexton, 17.3.
He's a good player, yes.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
I like him. Dealt with some injuries, obviously. Still hasn't really found his mark with the Utah Jazz, but I like him as a player.
Yes or no? Okay, like him as a player. 92, Jonathan Isaac, 17.4.
Can't stay healthy, no.
All right.
I'd be willing to take a chance on him, though, but you're right.
All right.
You're right.
Tim Hardaway Jr., 91, 17.8. That's a shoe-in. I don't even know why we huffing and puffing.
No, that's not a shoe-in. Because you're not putting him in this starting lineup, and that's not going to equate to wins.
But
if you said as a sixth man, that's his role right now with the Dallas Mavericks. You said shoe-in. Come on,
he's a shoe-in. Him, Malik Monk, and Cole Anthony are top for six men right now.
Yeah. He's having a good year.
Okay. He's having a good year.
His numbers are always better than HB's, by the way. 90, Norman Powell, 18 flat.
I like Norman Powell. He's a good player.
All right.
No, there's no way I'm taking Norman Powell over Harrison Barnes for this team. No
problem. 89.
But why not?
Yeah.
What does Harrison do that Freddie fan's not seeing here?
Plays defense, I think, better than Norman Powell. Mm-hmm. He's more of a winner. And I think we're having a different argument here. I'm looking at the fit solely because you can't just say, oh, we're going to get Norman Powell and plug it. Well, how does he fit with De'Aaron Fox? How does he fit with DeMontis Sabonis? You know, think about it. Harrison Barnes most nights guards the other team's best perimeter player. Zion last night, we've seen it in the past. And so Norman Powell, good player, but what has he done? Go ahead.
All right, Jay. 89, Duncan Robinson, 18-1.
No.
I don't like
one-trick pony.
88.
I can make the case, but no.
88, DeJounte Murray, 18.2.
I think DeJounte's severely underpaid. So, I like DeJounte
a
lot.
87, Derek White, 18.3.
You know what? The way Derek White's balling for the Celtics right now, he's a good – he's much better than he was in San Antonio. Like, he's taking a leap. So, I like Derek White.
All right, 86, Mr. Vucevic, 18.5.
That's a great question because Vucevic is talented – a former All-Star, but he's not winning.
What says Freddie
Fan? He's not a winner.
Freddie fan is like, Vucevic, no.
He said no. You phrased down in the basement a little too long.
Yeah.
All right. 85, Gary Trent Jr., 18.5.
He might give me a little more pop, but overall.
He's just an offensive scorer. Yeah. That's it. I need a complete ball player, man.
Yeah. All right. Maybe this answers 84, OG Anunoby, 18.5.
Yes. Ooh.
that's a no-brainer.
It's
just not as simple. If you were to get him, there's complications in the contract. But just for the purposes of this exercise, no contest.
And here's what I think, OG. I think his best days are still ahead of him.
Yep.
I think he needs to get out of Toronto. You play in this Kings system. I would love for the Kings to go out there and get OG Anunoby.
I'm going to save the next two because they're names, and I think you guys go. Number 81 is Evan Fournier at 18.8.
Nah.
Okay. So we kick back to 83 now. I'll go 82. Marcus Smart, 18.8.
Ooh, that's my guy. Ooh, I love perfect. Me some Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I mean, any way you want to slice it. Fit. Ability, yes.
All
yes,
right.
Yes.
Now, but you also got to factor in age, too.
Sure.
You know, you got to factor all that. All that is part of the equation.
I'm okay with that,
but HB's older than Marcus Smart, is he not?
Yes, he is. But I'm saying when you talk about certain guys, some guys might be 25.
Sure.
And so they haven't even hit their prime yet.
DJ Washington.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they got more upside. So we got to factor that in, too, when we have this
discussion. How about this one? This is almost vice versa. This is a name who's played for the Sacramento Kings, averaging 15, 16 points this year. 18.7, we're talking about Bogdanovich.
His health worries me too much.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's a...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric Smart Color Changing Light Bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting Smart Home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Really good player, but he's got his knee issues?
I'm going to say no.
You're not thinking like Freddie the Fan over there, Whitey. I think Freddie the Fan is probably like 12 out of 18. I'm with it. I mean, 12 out of 20. Yeah, sign me up.
But he's not defending anybody though either. Let's you know, go on the other.
So if I hear you guys correctly, I hear a Marcus Smart, I hear a OG, I hear a Vucevic maybe, I hear a Derek White, I hear a DeJounte Murray. Tim Hardaway Jr. Freddie Fan's taken. Not him. Colin Sexton.
Yes.
Okay. D'Angelo, you say no, Drapes. Freddie the Fan says.
Yeah, Freddie the Fan is all in.
Laurie Markkanen for sure.
Yeah, yes. We all agree, Laurie Markkanen.
And maybe Nurkic?
I'm out on Nurkic.
I think we're both out on Nurkic.
Yes. And PJ Washington.
There you go, see?
Yeah.
So.
Wait, now you're just acting like you won.
No, but I'm saying, now do this exercise for Marcus Smart. And, you know, like when you get in that, there's going to be some people that like this guy better than that guy. It's just, you know, that's just how these kind of discussions are built. I like Harrison Barnes because he's steady. You know what you're going to get in terms of the play. He's not going to turn it over. He's going to knock down his free throws. He's going to play good defense. Some of those names you mentioned. I love Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart will win you games, but he'll also lose you games as well. Harrison Barnes is not going to lose you a basketball game. And that's the issue with some of those guys you mentioned. They got tremendous upside. D'Angelo Russell, he can shoot you into a game, but he can also shoot you out of a game as well, too.
Yeah, and I, getting back to that fit question, I know I mentioned this specifically with PJ Washington, but if you took any one of those guys, virtually any one of them, and you plugged them in here and you said, you know what, Vucevic, whoever, there's going to be nights when you get three shots. They're not even going to want to be here.
Right.
They're not going to want to play here.
That's true.
And with HB, it's like, I mean, I think you know better than I, but as far as we know, it's like he accepts that.
He accepts his role. Yeah, he's a level-headed guy. He's not going to get too high or too low based on his shot attempts, you know? And, you know, when people say, oh, you know, we want him to be more aggressive, trust me, if the shot is there, Harrison Barnes is going to take it. It's not often we say, oh, my God, Harrison, how come you didn't take that shot, you know? We've seen him, and I could pull up his game log right here. I got it right here. You know, you look at his game log, one game, 16 shots, 10 shots, 11 shots, 13 shots, 11. You know, the three was an outlier. He had one game of three and one game of four. Usually he's in that 7 to 12 range, which as your sixth option is solid. Last night, he only took three shots. We need more from him, yes. But let's not act like this is an indictment on his whole career and he can't be what this team needs him to be. He's the fifth option among the starters, sixth option if you include Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm. What do the Kings need from him night in, night out? And are they getting it?
I think what they need is solid defense. His defensive numbers can be better, no doubt about it. I looked at his defensive rating. It's not good. But that's, you know, coupled with everybody else on the court, too. Knock down open shots, get to the free throw line. Those are the three things. And, you know, be a better passer, too. Like, I think when I look at Harrison Barnes, he usually gives the game what it needs. The game didn't need him to go for 20 last night, Whitey. The game didn't need him to hunt shots last night. The game needed him to D up Zion Williamson. And I know it was a team effort. He did a heck of a job on that last night.
I think there's a real chance that at this point of his career, and he's had a fine career,
yeah,
he really has, that he is maybe best suited to be coming off the bench on a really good team. I just think that's where he is. I understand why the Kings signed him and why he is starting for them. I get it. I understand. I'm not saying that this is malpractice. It's terrible that they're doing this. But I think in an ideal situation for him, I think he's coming off the bench for a really good team. I also think right now the Kings don't have anybody who's better than him who should be starting. I said during the offseason, I think the plan, ideally they would love for Sasha to get to that point, but Sasha's nowhere near that point right now.
You know, I look at, this was a couple of years ago, the Boston Celtics were interested in Harrison Barnes, not as a bench guy, as a starter. I look at a team like the Lakers. I think the Lakers would love to have a Harrison Barnes as a starter. Somebody LeBron can kick it out, can knock down the three. Somebody that can help LeBron defensively guard the opponent's other team's best perimeter player. And so this whole notion of, you know, Harrison Barnes is a bench player on a good team. I don't buy that. I
don't think that's necessarily a knock. I know it sounds like it, but I don't. I mean, that's an important role.
You know, I think he's a fifth starter on a championship level team. That's how I view him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think if Keegan takes the step we're talking about, we're not having this discussion. We're having this discussion now because they lost and Harrison only took three shots. You know, Keegan scored 14 points. Keegan has to, on that kind of game, he got to be a 19, 20-point scorer. You know, he's the number four overall pick, people, and I feel like we're bringing him along slowly. I guarantee you Mike Brown is asking a lot more from him than what the fans are right now, and I'm not sure why we're taking it easy on him.
If you look at the contracts, and if you think, and you mentioned this, the Kings may be in position to make a move at some point, wouldn't Harrison Barnes' contract be one of the ones that would be most likely for them to consider moving? Yeah, I'm not asking you to say, do you want to get rid of him? But when you look at their roster, and if you were going to move some pieces to bring something in, wouldn't Harrison probably be one of the pieces that you would most likely want to include in a deal? Again, depending, of course, on what you're getting.
Well, he does definitely has a manageable contract.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
His contract would not scare teams off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's short term, 3 years. That's mm-hmm. nothing in the NBA. Think about it. You get through this season and then, you know, get through next season, then he's a potential free agent, which has value in terms of a trade. And so I think his contract is manageable. I think when you look at it, if it was 25 or 30, nobody would be interested in that. I think it's a manageable contract.
Coming up, who are the Kings compared to who they were last year? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Wow, there's some people taking some shots at poor Freddie the Fan here. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports on the text line here. Freddie the Fan probably wants to bring back DeMarcus Cousins. As a matter of fact, Freddie the Fan does want to bring back DeMarcus Cousins. Also on the YouTube chat here. Freddie the Fan needs to go back to his basement and clean it up. His grandma's calling him. No, it's his mom. Freddie the Fan's mom is the one that has the internet. Anyway, thanks, Jay, for putting that exercise together. It's just that's the way we're going to be as far as Kings fandom
yes.
with Harrison Barnes. You know, until he averages 20 points a game, which ain't going to happen, people are going to look at those games like last night and go, look at that, oh, that's wrong.
It's
just the state of the team right now on the roster.
You know, and the thing is, Harrison Barnes is in his sixth season here in Sacramento, fifth full season, came in, obviously, in that trade. He is what he is. Like, it's what he's doing is nothing new or different than he's been. And so for everybody wanting him to be this 22, 23, it ain't going to happen. Like, maybe you need to change your expectations and what you expect and be more realistic of what I see from Harrison Barnes. That's how I am.
Part of the problem with Harrison Barnes, too, is that he's still and always has been to a degree a
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Little bit of a tweener, right? I mean, is he small forward? He's a big forward?
I think he's clearly a small forward. Like, I don't even think that's, you know, necessarily mm-hmm. an issue. And, you know, is Keegan the four on this team? I think so. I mean, I'll go back to what I said starting the show. The Kings had high hopes for Keegan Murray this season. They wanted him to take that step. It hasn't happened yet for a number of issues. Obviously, the health situation, the back, he gutted through it last night. If Keegan takes that step we're talking about, Harrison Barnes isn't even an issue right now.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to Steven. You're on with Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. What's up, Steven? Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Real quick, man. Quick question for you bros, man. Okay, so philosophically speaking, right, when it comes to just like a generic play of basketball, I know we're talking about Harrison Barnes and stuff like that, but my question is like a little bit more so, okay, if the three ball isn't hitting, this is going to be a huge argument and a huge point that I hear a lot of Kings fans make and just general basketball fans in general. When the three is not hitting, why do we consistently see the same philosophy being taught? Like, why aren't these guys just charging the basket? Why aren't they crashing the boards? Why is it that when the three ball just isn't hitting, these guys aren't like, all right, cool, I'm not hitting. Let me try and crash the boards. Let me try and, you know, hit the key. Let me try and put a body on somebody. I don't necessarily see that. And that's a question that has kind of – I've been asking myself for the past few seasons now, because when the three ball isn't hitting
– good question, Steven.
Off the three ball and you know
– understand your question. Yeah, thank you. First of all, thanks for listening. Thanks for the question. It's a question I think a lot of fans have. I think, Kyle, it boils down to three is more than two. And in today's NBA, guys can still make that shot. And when they're missing, you know, in the old days, like, oh, you're taking too many long shots, you got to get it inside. That's always true to a degree. But in today's NBA, an open three is still a shot for the most part that's worth taking.
And you said the key word, an open three. And, you know, there's a belief in that as long as you trust the process and take the good shots, trust the offense, they'll eventually fall. You know, the law of averages. And so when you talk to coaches around the NBA, they don't worry about the result. They worry about the process of a shot. And so if you're spraying the ball, you're, you know, attacking the paint, kicking it out. Now, there's a shot profile too, right? Like a, you know, off the dribble three is a lot different than a catch and shoot three and all that. So those are the things they look at. They don't look at, you know, man, we took too many threes tonight. We didn't, you know, hit them. Were they good threes? And so when Mike Brown talks and you hear him time and time again after post game, he's looking for those spray threes where somebody gets into the paint, defense collapse, you kick it out, and you have an open three. You know, the problem is the Kings didn't do a good job getting into the paint last night against the Pelicans team, who's long, athletic, and very good defensively. And then they have the ability, because of their length, to recover as well. And so that's what you're seeing. It's not about the number of threes, it's about the type of threes and were they good
quality
shots.
Of them.
Quality of them, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I do think there's a very good chance that we're going to look back on last night as kind of a coming out party for this New Orleans Pelicans team. Not to make excuses for the Kings, because the Kings, they needed to play better last night. It was very disappointing. But New Orleans, when they're healthy, they have all their guys, they have a chance to be a very formidable team this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at them, and we talked about last season and how they led the Western Conference before Denver came on and Zion got hurt. And their biggest question mark has always been health. You know, CJ's a legit talent, you know, that can get you 20 to 25 on any given night. Zion is virtually unguardable as well. And Ingram is a former All-Star. And then you add some of the young pieces they got. The Herb Jones, one of the best defenders, if
really
not the
player.
Best on-ball defender.
Really good player.
Really good two-way player. And he's added a jump shot, a three-point shot. We saw it last night. And so this is a team that's going to be reckoned with. Sure, they may not have the Durants of the world, the Jokic, but their top seven is as good as anybody, I think, out there.
Where are the Kings and who are the Kings compared to who they were last year? We were just talking about the three-point shooting. And the three-point shooting this year, so far, way below what they did last year. Offensively, they're not the same team they were last year. Defensively, they're a little bit better, but not where Mike Brown wants them to be. And one of the reasons I bring that up is because, again, it was interesting last night after the game. Mike Brown was asked about getting out and running. And Mike Brown says, yeah, we need to have more of a sense of urgency. Kevin Huerter said, we're focusing more on defense. That's not why we're not focus more on getting out and running. And I know you say that's really an excuse.
I think so. You know, I get it. It could take something out of you. But you're professionals. It'd be different if the defense was, that much better.
Is he saying that we just don't have the energy?
That's what it sounded like to me. And to me, that's a cop-out, you know? You're deep. You're a deep team. You got subs. And if that is true, what Kevin Herter is saying, then this team is not going to win a championship. Because you got to be able to do that to win a title. You just have to. And so if that's the excuse, Kings fans, what can I say? I mean, we're in some trouble then. Because we're not quite there yet. Maybe we can get there, but I thought that was an excuse yesterday from Kevin.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to Matt on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Matt, what's up? Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, thank you. How's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, you know, I just want to get on to Harrison Barnes' conversation. I was kind of disappointed with him, but kind of listening to your show, I think it's kind of putting it into reality that he is who he is. I really like what he's brought to Sacramento as far as his class, his professionalism, his work ethic. But I think what we're seeing is that we're needing more from the power forward position. And we need more size, it seems like, because when we go up against bigger opponents, Sabonis sometimes, you know, he's challenged with bigger opponents. He's doing much better lately with taller centers that he's going up against. But it seems like we need a power forward with a little more height and size to go down low when we need it. And Harrison Barnes isn't always that person. I'm not sure who's out there that we could get, but maybe you guys can help me understand better. I have always heard the argument that Sabonis would not be good at the power forward position. He's better off at the center. Why is that? And because sometimes it seems like when I see what Chris Webber did for us at the power forward position, sometimes I see Sabonis kind of very similar to what Webber brought if we had a bigger center to help both protect the rim and to give us some down-low offense at times. What do you think?
Thank you, Matt. Here's Kyle Draper with your answer.
Well, first of all, it's a different game than when C-Webb and Vlade and those guys play together. You know, when you look at, you know, the NBA now, most teams play with one big, and then they like to call them, you know, four wing players, you know. And so when you look at Harrison Barnes, he's at 6'8". Keegan Murray is at 6'8". And when you throw in Domantas Sabonis, you need, if you do move him to the four, and I'm not against that, but you got to have somebody that can play the five. And you need a shooting big, and I said it earlier, a Kristaps Porzingis would be perfect. I could even throw in a Karl Anthony Towns, and I'll have to do some more research and look to see who else is out there. But because Domas isn't a shooter, he's not going to play on the perimeter. Then you need another big who can play on the perimeter. Maybe it's a Brook Lopez kind of player. You know, that wouldn't be necessarily as bad. But then who's Domas going to guard on the other end? Is he guarding Zion last night?
See, that's to me, it comes down to that. We know that Sabonis, he had a great year last year, third team All-League. He's not a good defender. We knew that when he was in with the Pacers. We knew that when the Kings got him. And to me, that issue is actually exacerbated if he's playing the four.
Right.
He's a worse defender if he's playing the four.
And especially in today's NBA.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could talk defensively. I mean, you look at fours on a number of teams. LeBron James plays the four for the Lakers. Is Domas really playing? Is he guarding Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Is he guarding Kevin Durant in Phoenix? Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about here?
Right.
And I get it. You know, and I'm looking at the YouTube chat, all these so-called experts out there. Domas has been a four his entire life. Well, the game has changed right now. And just because he's been that doesn't mean he's thrived in that role. It doesn't mean that's conducive to winning. Now, like I said, if you want to bring in a Brook Lopez, you want to bring in a Kristaps Porzingis, then we can have something. But then on a defensive end, who's he going to guard? And so I just think the way this Kings team is constructed, you need another three or four, whoever it is, that can stretch the floor and play defense. You need another two-way guy out there.
Look at the phones lighting up. 339-1140.
Really? Oh, man. Here we go.
1-800-920-1140. Where are you right now with Harrison Barnes, the day after a Kings suffered a disappointing loss We'll come right back with that more. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Thank you for being with us. I also want to take a moment to once again thank Kyle Draper. I know yesterday was not a, you know, a great day for him because he was licking his wounds from that Eagle loss.
Bang, bang, Niner.
Jay.
And then, you know, the Kings had a tough loss. But seriously, I just wanted to thank you again for wearing the Brock Purdy jersey. Somebody, when I came in today, was like, I think someone asked, how'd you get him to wear that jersey? And it's like, I wasn't even here. I didn't know whether we had actually, you know, nailed that down. He did that on his own.
Yeah,
so.
And I went and paid my hard-earned money. It's like $140. People are like, what?
You man, write that off, brother. Write that off.
Oh, yeah, you know that, man. That's a tax.
Real quick, where is it resting at comfortably right now?
I think it's under the passenger seat in my car somewhere.
Under the seat, okay.
Yeah, with the popcorn and the peanuts and all the other trash that's under there. Yeah,
loose
that's
change.
Where it's at. The loose change.
Was it really $140?
Yes.
Wow.
I paid $140 for the Brock Purdy jersey to wear it once.
You got to get the Chinese knockoff or something.
Dude, I went to Dick's Sporting Goods. They didn't have any. And then so I went to the store down at Doco Lids, I guess it's called or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was the only one left. They had one Purdy and one Kittle jersey, and that's it. And I'm like, ah. So, yeah, man.
It's a nice
the things
jersey.
I do.
Yeah, I know.
The things
and it,
I do.
It looked
man,
good on you. And I just, again, I think, yeah, people may ask me about that. I said, no, he did that. On his own. So we appreciate that. Thanks for being with us today. Sacktown Sports, of course, on the YouTube chat, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We've been talking a lot today about where the Kings are after a disappointing loss last night. And then after disappointing loss, the conversation often turns to Harrison Barnes when he doesn't score a lot. He had three last night. So we've been figuring out where the Kings are with him, where the Kings are with their defense, which is better but not where it needs to be. Let's talk to D here on Sacktown Sports. D, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Man, what's on my mind, man? Just first, you know, I just want to say just rest in peace to the guy that passed away, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like very much unfortunate. But at least he went out a diehard King fan. Number two, Harrison Barnes. This is where we start talking about if you guys were to pick up another player, who are the Kings going to give up? Because right now, you guys have, the Kings have, a pretty decent team, right? So who is the guys that are going to be moved? Because we're not going to move guys for a sub-level guy. We want to move guys for a guy that can come in right now and win. So that is like, you know, is my talk right now, is who is the who are the guys that are on the trading block? Who are the guys that are, hey, we could kind of dump them now and hope to get something good back, you know?
Yeah, well, thanks, D. Yeah, I think some of it comes down to, as Kyle said, contracts. Some of it comes down to if a team comes to you and says, we like this guy or
right.
that guy. But you've got maybe someone like Davion who's out of the rotation. Maybe someone like HB whose contract is easily tradable and some draft picks. I mean, I think, to your point, I think, Kyle, please correct me if I'm wrong, the Kings could put together a pretty substantial package without really tearing apart the roster.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned some of the contracts. They have all the draft picks still. They have all their draft capital.
Yeah.
And let's keep it real. We're talking about Monty McNair. This is a guy who traded Tyrese Halliburton, fan favorite. So best believe if Monty feels like he can improve the roster, he would trade guys. You know, I would argue Fox and Sabonis probably, you know, untouchable at this point. Keegan, maybe. But, you know, knowing Monty McNair and what he's done in the past, his track record has shown us, guys, he's willing to make a controversial move, a move that maybe the fan base doesn't like, maybe gets rid of a fan favorite. And so I fully expect, and this is no inside knowledge, this is just having covered the league for X number of years. And when you look at it, if the Kings want to get to their championship level, they may need to make a move. I mean, we all see that.
One of the keys may be if the Kings, if it gets to that point, would you go out and get somebody like OG and Anunoby who might be playing out of contract. I'm not saying they are.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
right.
But you may be looking at a situation like that where it's like rolling the dice on whether you can re-sign a guy or how much you're going to get out of him in the short time potentially that he'd be with you. TC joins us, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Hello, TC.
What's up, T?
Man,
Man, what's going on, Drace, man? Why, what's going on, man?
Not much, bro. Good hearing from you, man.
How about those 49ers, TC?
yeah, man. You see they put a beating on the Eagles, man. You know what I'm saying? No, Shanahan didn't get in his own way, or he didn't get in the team's way. You
know, hey, he finally let the players do it, right? He finally let the players do their thing.
Yeah, man, let them do their thing, man, and don't get in the way. You know what I'm saying? No, but other than that, man, I want to send my condolences away last night, man. That was sad. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, I'm gonna start the combo off with that. And also, just last night, man, a few things bothered me, Drace. I seen you on the post game with Matt and Morgan. You was irritated, bro, and I felt you. You know what I'm saying? I felt you through the screen last night, man. I was irritated last night about that game, how we jumped up 15-point lead, then we blow it, and then we can't get back in the game. Everybody's crying at the refs. Last night was a night that I truly, and I love Mike Brown. I don't nothing against him, but last night was the very first time I was truly angry at Mike with his rotations. Like, if we're supposed to be this deep team, we got Kessel, we got a bunch of people on the bench. Open it up, Mike. When you see your starters are struggling, I know Fox scored 30, but when you see people, even he was struggling with the turnovers. Sit down for a minute. I'm going to bring in Davion. I'm going to bring in somebody different just to mix it up. You get what I'm saying? Like, Mike, don't turn into Steve Kerr where you're like, hey, I'm going to rely on the starters. I'm going to play them no matter what. Like, no, bro. If we're supposed to be this deep team and we got a bag that we can get into that bag. Even JaVale last night, JaVale would have been a better presence in the middle other than DeMontis. I know he had 26 last night. That don't say nothing to me. I seen that dude let Jonas look like prime Kareem with hook shots, dream shakes.
He said prime Kareem.
Yeah, like, no, I'm serious, Drake. Like, that dude has no, like, he's not a shot blocker, but at least jump up, bro, and protect the rim. Don't stand there and let your guy get it. You already in foul trouble. Like, you could have brought in JaVale for that, bro. It's a lot that I can say, but those are the main points, man, I got on that game last night. Seriously.
Thank you, TC.
Appreciate that,
yeah,
TC.
We'll answer some of those questions when we come right back. Also, we'll look at the Kings here and what last night says about how they still need to get better when the Drive guys come right back on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.